every day of our lives and showing up now. As we come together to hear from you, let your word open up the eyes of our understanding that we may see and discover the hope of our calling, fulfilling our purpose in this generation, and leave a God-honoring legacy for generations to come. Father, give me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. That my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with an anointing that demonstrates manifestation of the Spirit and of power. So speak, Lord, and I will listen, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will obey. In the name that is above every name. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for joining in with worship with us. I really do appreciate it. Because, or else my wife and I would be up here doing it by ourselves. And we wouldn't mind that. We'd like to join in with others. We want to continue our study and teaching and end our teaching on Built to Last. Say Built to Last. And as you know, we have been focusing the last several weeks on the area of embracing for us to be built to last long term, and for years that we are embracing the spirit of love and forgiveness in our lives. And I believe we did an adequate job on that, so I won't continue. But I want to focus on another area about being built to last. Say built to last. Now, built to last means your godly legacy will last for generations. Say generations. Generations. One of the challenges that, and I didn't grow up with this kind of thinking, but it's really biblical kingdom godly thinking, that whatever we do, we think not just for now or tomorrow or for the next 10 years, but for generations. Say generations. And what that clearly implies is not just a long time, but working through other people that far outlives you. So what you do today is still having influence in your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, even your spiritual children and grandchildren, and people in general beyond your lifetime. Say, beyond my lifetime.
Beyond my lifetime.
Now, again, oftentimes, people don't think this way, and because of it, we make short-term decisions in life. And then we get older. If we live long enough, get older, we look back and say, wow, I would have done things a whole lot differently. Amen. If I know I'm going to live this long and things work out this way, because we weren't thinking what's referred to as delayed gratification, and also multi-generational. Say multi-generational. So built to last is about outlasting not just your lifetime, but into the lifetime of your children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And so, yes, you should plan, like maybe insurance, or you may have a will or have a living trust where you leave values along with your assets to be a blessing to your family. That's appropriate, and that's godly, by the way. And that's something you should do. But one of the most important pieces is that you have a legacy that involves a witness of Christ through your children for generations. The fact that we're able to have a church like this in America is because through generations, people have instilled in their children and they embrace these Christian values, and therefore we're allowed to have services like we do. Many countries, that's not the case. Even places that were in the Bible, like Ephesus, where we get the Bible, get the name Ephesians from in the Bible, in the New Testament, that's modern-day Turkey today. Modern-day Turkey is a Muslim nation, and you can go to jail sharing your faith with someone in Turkey today. So somehow, when Paul preached and after he died, somebody did not catch the torch and teach their children these same values. Don't think that is not happening today in America. With people who, I did that already. That's for my mom and dad, but you know, I got something else. I got a new vision. Well, we're going to show you that they won't have a new vision if we instill God's vision early enough and strong enough in their lives. And modeled it. Say modeled it. Yeah, modeled it. Now, again, people are individual, and you know, you can always have a person make go their own way. but you have a strong likelihood of what God wants to get done in the earth. He thinks in the earth. And so he invests in us. He sent us some, but he called people like me as pastors, and not just me individually, but other pastors and ministers, to invest in you too. We have Bibles. Now we have Bibles in different translations. That's an investment in you to learn and grow and therefore share with others. Say, share with others.
Share with others.
Otherwise, it just stops with us. And that's not God's plan. And because we're Christian and we go to a Christian church does not mean your children are getting it and really valuing. Because what happens in our personal lives as adults, particularly parents, but also it could be other adults in our lives, uncles and aunts and caregivers and, you know, people like that, that are influencing our children's lives, they model for us and sometimes model a bad thing. They're not modeling the biblical thinking. And so I'm sharing this with you because this is what God is requiring of us. And we want to be able to build what God has built in us, which is Christ's life, should last. Say it should last.
It should last.
Built to last is about leaving a testimony of the witness of Christ beyond you, but through your children and grandchildren. Say, my children and grandchildren. Now, some of you may not be married, may not have any children, may not want to have any children. No problem. We're going to show you some biblical examples of that. Or maybe you don't have any children yet. We're going to show you how that God has not left you out at all. So listen up, please. You can have spiritual children. Say spiritual children.
Spiritual.
We'll talk about that. Because unless we embrace this even stronger, I'm not suggesting we don't as a church, but we do it in stronger than filling any gaps in our lives, in our families, then we spend all this time going to church, you know, worship songs, and then our son or daughter says, by the way, I don't believe in God no more, Mom, at 25. That's less likely to occur, far less likely to occur when your son or daughter has seen God move in your life. You help connect the dots. By the way, you know we were homeless for 2 months? God came through, and I got this job, and I got, because we prayed, and people at church are praying for us, and that's how that happened.
Amen.
I recommitted my life to Christ. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Connect the dots. Say connect the dots.
Connect the dots.
They start seeing the testimonies of God, the power of God. We're going to talk about it later in Scripture. Don't hide it from your children.
Amen.
Don't assume they get it.
Amen.
Because there's a lot at stake. And as a pastor for 30 years, I've seen some kids walk away from God. They go off to college and walk away from God. That should not be happening.
Amen.
If the foundation was laid at home and they model. Sometimes the problem is they may get a little bit at church, get some at home, but then you see all of a sudden something happens in the family and discourages them. And they say, well, I don't understand. If God was so powerful, how come my mom and dad got divorced? Or my dad's acting like this, my mom's acting like that. And they'll realize that you're not connecting the dots, that people are individual and God is still good in spite of that.
Amen.
And he hasn't changed. They say he hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Because what we want to do is be built to last, and that is that God's plan is still communicated. And it's communicated through families. Say through families.
Families.
Why is that important? Because families is the place where you have the most influence as adults. It's your own family.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids down the street, I mean, I can say hi and invite them to my house, but I don't have as much influence as I do with my own children, especially when they're younger. Amen?
Amen.
But also when they're older, you can have influence. Godly influence. Say godly influence.
Godly influence.
Let's look at Psalm 78 and give you some biblical basis for what I'm talking about today. Because I want to encourage you. I'm not suggesting that you're all doing a bad job, nothing like that, but this is such a reality check, especially in light of the world we live in. I mean, if you talk to your children, young people, a lot of their friends, you know, they interact with, and some of them were going to church, Christians. Well, I'm not Christian no more. Or I'm Christian, and I'm also four or five other things. You know what? What is that but confusion? But see, how does that happen? Somehow we got to, and some of it we can help restore. So it's not too late. Say it's not too late. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your children. I don't care what they may. Don't walk by sight. You walk by faith.
Right.
But you got to do your part. Okay, yeah. A divorce happens. We know divorce happens in people's lives. But if the way you handle that is huge in communicating to your children about what love and forgiveness is really about. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's not giving you money, sister. Maybe he cheated on you. Maybe he did all that. But if you don't demonstrate that before your children. See, that's the culture we're talking about. That needs to last. It's the culture of God. Say the culture of God. Even though it's tough and hard, but you got to teach them how to go through hard spots in their lives.
Yeah.
God's way. Say God's way.
God's way.
Which means we as parents, we have to grow too. Yeah. So we can handle the rough spots in life. Yeah. They're real. Because there's a lot at stake if we don't.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you acted up or whatever, they saw something, you know, behavior, just ask God to forgive you. In fact, you may want to ask them to forgive you. Yeah, yeah. They may be teenagers or young adults or older. You know, I want to say how I treated your dad, how I treated your mom, you know, what I did. You know, that wasn't godly. I repent. I told them I'm going to tell you. Huge. Say huge.
Huge.
Unless we model this, then life doesn't work well. And they said, that stuff don't work. Well, bishop, priest, that Bible stuff don't work. It does if we work it.
That's right.
And if we don't work it, there's a lot at stake in the negative that can happen.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, God is serious about leaving a legacy on the earth to maximize the people he reaches. Jesus is going to come back, my friend. I know they're talking about that in the 30s and 40s. He's coming back. He didn't come back then. You know, then had enough time in the economy and wars. He's coming back. He didn't come back then. Now stuff happening in government and White House. He's coming back. He ain't come back yet. But he's coming back, though.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming. And see, even though he may outlive you before he comes back, Jesus is going to continue on, and you don't live long enough, guess what? You don't want your kids to die without Christ in their heart.
Amen.
Because he haven't come back yet.
Amen.
When he comes, you want them to be able to meet him in the air.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 78. It says, verse 1, give ear, O my people. Notice he's talking to my people, his people. This is huge. The Bible's written to God's people, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to get a better understanding, we got to become his people. Say, become his people. If you're not a believer and a follower of Christ, you can become one today. But it's written, the promises and the insights, the wisdom is for his people. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Notice it comes out of his mouth. God spoke the words of God. Men just wrote it and set the type.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to teach our children, this is the word of God. Because there's a lot of, when I grew up, and it's the same spirit. It's not different. Well, you know, the man wrote the Bible. The white man wrote the Bible. This, you know what, man? What does God say about his Bible?
Yeah.
That I'm not a man that I should lie.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to show verses like that. God's not a liar.
Amen.
My word endures forever.
Yes.
Show them scripture and why you believe it.
Yes.
Because unless they develop a strong confidence in the scriptures, then they'll find confidence in something out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we as parents and grandparents, it's our responsibility to help them get it and model it before them. Amen?
Amen.
I will open my mouth in parable, verse 2. I will utter dark sayings of old. I mean, it's been talked by my grandfather, great-granddad, and my mom, and now me, and I'm passing it on. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have what?
Told.
Our fathers have what?
Told.
Our fathers have what?
Told.
This is huge. The fathers play a huge role. The male plays a huge role in modeling and teaching of our children. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a monk. But be a man that's committed to God and grow in God and be an example. The statistics are very clear. When a young child or maybe even a teenager comes to Christ, there's maybe about a 15% chance, let's say, in that range, that the whole family comes to Christ. But then when mama receives Christ and begins to follow God, there's probably maybe about a 30% chance that the whole family comes to Christ. But when the father comes to Christ, it's about a 70% plus chance or more that the whole family follows Christ. So there's an attack on the male seed. because God has created the man to be a powerful influence in many good ways. It's like the woman, but it's different. It's different. And we can't say, well, my wife, she's a prayer warrior. She loves, okay, but what about you, brother? Can you explain the scriptures too? Because we deal with it sometimes in this church. You know, I mean, boys get a little older. We don't go to church. Why? Mama go to church. Girls go to church. But daddy don't go to church. I ain't going now. And he's big enough. She can't make it. Yeah. So if the father not ready for that, that's his thing. But help them, your sons. They get up. They grow up to know God. And they understand they're going to be impacting their family. In fact, oh, yeah. They're going to believe, look forward to having a family. I'm going aside over here. That means being married, look forward to getting married and having a family.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3 again. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4. We will not hide them. Say, we will not hide them.
We will not hide them.
Wow. Now, people aren't doing that necessarily on purpose, but we hide it because we don't. You know, I don't want to push my faith on them. You know what? You don't mind doing that with your math and the history and your value for education. You push that big time, don't you? Oh, yeah, yes, we do. What about the word of God?
Amen.
That won't shudder, won't change, won't wrinkle, won't rust, won't bust.
All right.
But we got to see the value. Say, see the value. You talk. Many of you are a little older, you know. I mean, you know, I'm older too. But the reality is, even people that may not follow Christ, they'll tell you, if I had an opportunity to go back and do it again, I would do it a lot differently. And oftentimes, they'll get God involved in their life. They realize that the money is going to take them so far. All the status is going to open up so many doors. And at the end of the day, they're still not that happy. And they realize something I didn't have in my life that I needed. And they realize maybe it's God. Yeah, it is God. And they go through a lot of problems because somehow we missed the foundation. So I'm not suggesting you're doing a bad job. I'm saying let's step up. Say let's step up.
Let's step up.
And even though your children may be older, don't act like I'm not talking to you. Go after your children.
Amen.
There's a way to do it. God will show you. Don't come heavy-handed. You love. But you see your children not really following God. Your grandkids don't go to church anymore because mom and dad don't. You know, they doing all kind of stuff on weekends. Go get your children. That means your grandchildren. Call up. I'm coming by to pick them up on Saturday night. Have the clothes ready. They come to church more often than what you're taking them.
Amen.
Why? That's your child too.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I will not hide them from their children. Tell into generations to come. It means kids don't even hear yet. Not born. The praises of the Lord. Say the praises of the Lord.
The praises of the Lord.
And his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. This is what you talk about. You know, yes, read the scripture. We have a little devotion. And so that's powerful. That's good. But tell the children how powerful God's been in your life.
Yeah.
Tell them how, you know what? I got this degree. I went to college. I got this good job. But you know what happened? I didn't have no money. I was struggling with 4 or 5 jobs. Then I started praying for some help. And God sent me a man in my life, a godly man. He gave me some help. We're working together. And then I got me a good job, and I got involved in this local church. I began to grow in the word of God. And guess what now? I'm blessed. All because of God. Sing his praises. Tell his praises. Don't hide them from your children. And you'd be surprised, even the young ones, they can get it. Yeah, they'll get it. They get everything else, and they're young. Well, come on, talk to me. Yeah. And I know it comes across, it is a responsibility. It's a responsibility, my friend. And it's not, you know, we want you to have God's best. And I've been pastoring for a long time. And you see the end of some people who just don't get it. So we have to teach the Bible in these areas. And sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. I could do a better job with my kids. They get to ask them, they'll tell you. But I'm not giving up on my kids. I want to encourage them to all thrive and do what God's called them to do. Are you following me?
Yes.
And they're doing good. But my point is this. Now I've got grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be able to help them with their mom and dad. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine my grandsons? And then I'm a bishop, and bishop acting up, acting crazy, even though their parents are teaching them the word of God, but the modeling, granddaddy, he's called himself a bishop, but he's tipping. He called himself a bishop. He's doing, are you following me? Mm-hmm. Yes. It's the culture. Say the culture.
The culture.
And the culture is strongest in families.
Amen. Amen.
The culture is strongest in families. This is why Jewish people are so tight. Is they have a culture around the family. Yeah. That's why folk hate Jews. But God, see, what I'm teaching you is what God handed for God's people at the beginning with the Jews, and then now we're, if you were spiritual Jews, grafting in through Jesus Christ, and we should have the same culture, and it begins and ends with the family. Mm-hmm. I'm 2 weeks ago, I'm at a meeting at the Dream Center and with an organization, and we're talking about serving foster youth, and the Jewish lady came that was sitting next to me. She's Jewish, and was going to be, you know, doing pretty well with herself, and she wants to help former foster youth. So she said, I want to talk to you after. We talked afterwards. And then she said this. I started sharing what we're doing with the documentary and so forth and making progress there. He says, oh, you need to make my son. He's a good director too. And I'm thinking, I don't know your son. But she didn't mind referring her son to me. Yeah. I wasn't hating on her. I'm noticing she's putting family what? First. You're going to get this today. It's the culture. Say the culture. And that's why I talked about earlier about relationships. When you maintain a relationship, you destroy the what? The culture. Don't get along, you destroy the what? The culture. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I was messing with you. Verse 4 again. We will not hide them from their children, telling the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and the wonderful works he has done. God has done wonderful things. Share that with your children. See this big check? You know why we're able to go have vacation? We haven't been on vacation about 8 years, but now we're able to have a nice vacation because God came through. Look at this check, boy. He may be only eight years old. Let him see the numbers. God did this. That's why we're over there having a good time. Because of God. Say because of God.
Because of God.
Don't hide them from your children.
Amen.
I got healed. I was on a walker for a while. But God healed me.
Yeah.
Don't hide them from your what? Children. Or else they don't see him as powerful. Amen.
Amen.
Our children should not only know about God's wonderful works of old, but what he has done in our lives now. I'm sure many of us can go on and on and on about stories and testimony. We share with other adults very easily. But my point is, share these stories, not just only of old with Noah, just of old with Moses and Joshua and Esther. But what about in your personal life? What has God done in your life? And you share those things, what God has done. That's where the relevance come in. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have much of examples of that, then you got to start seeking God. God, why don't I see more of you in my life? How come I don't have more testimonies of you powerfully working in my life? We ought to have a regular flow of testimonies in our life.
Amen.
Of God showing up. Because our kids say, well, okay, mom and dad, keep going to Zoe, but what, you know, it's all, you know, where's God at? It's up to us. Say, it's up to us.
It's up to us.
To do our part to invite God in our life. And then when he comes and gets involved in our lives in very tangible ways, we share it with our children. Say, share with our children.
Share with our children.
Verse 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. Say, commanded our fathers.
Commanded our fathers.
Say, commanded our fathers.
Well,
my wife, she's a prayer warrior. That's wonderful. That's good for her. Wonderful. What about you, brother? I'm making the money. What about you, brother? He said he commanded the fathers. You can't be out of the equations. Let mom do what she got to do. No problem. But you need to be adding your piece. And I know how the devil, especially working in an area, working with former foster youth, a lot of young people don't get a good education. They're bouncing around from house to house. So they don't do well, don't do math, don't read well. So they hide behind it. I had one young lady, former foster youth, gonna give her a job in the church, and I said, we give her a test, simple clerical test. She didn't even show up. Didn't call, just didn't come. Had an appointment. I wonder why, and realized the test is intimidating to her. It will reveal something that she's not as, I understand. So if it means you go to adult school, brother, and learn how to read better, so be it. It's about saving your children. Say, saving my children. I've seen a man in our church die, had a letter that he had cancer, did nothing about it because he couldn't read well. I want to minister to you because it's hid in the book for you to find. Yeah. I understand, life happens, I understand. But today is a new day, we can do better. My mother, at 70-something years old, went back to college, get a degree. I helped move in the dorms. Okay. Her roommate was probably like, she was younger than me. We got to look at, there's a greater call on our life. Yes. Say, it's my children. And maybe you don't have any children. When you start having some, it's your children. And your spiritual children. Say spiritual children. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. That he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, that he commanded our father that they should make them known to who? Their children. Well, you know, my boo or my husband or whatever, he really not a Bible person. Then why'd you marry that brother then? Oh, yeah, let's go there. My daughter, she was doing the welcome. She was here the first service. But I was talking to between the services. And she said, I got it, Dad. I got it. And, I said, because she's single. She's like looking forward to being married. I said, you can't just let anybody get into our family. Okay, I'm going to side over here. Anybody not coming into the family. When she was teenagers, and she's that dating, I said, well, no, nah, maybe a little while high school. I said, she wanted to meet the guy. I ain't ready. No, he's not the vision. Dad! He's not the vision. If he won't come in, he's going to be outside and honk the car, the horn, and you walk out. No, don't you go out there. He ain't the one. He won't come and talk to me. Make an appointment. One guy was kind of serious. I said, make an appointment. Okay. He didn't show up 3 times. You know what, man? And you wonder why I got a cold shoulder? He ain't the one. If he can't relate to another man, maybe he had man issues, father issues, I get it. But in my family, you got to be healed in that area. Because I didn't know this at the beginning of my life in ministry, how important family is. And how influential family is on the children. It matters who you hook up with. Now, if you're already hooked up, keep praying, okay? Keep praying. I'm serious. In fact, one lady in our church years ago, this guy comes, all of a sudden she was single, and then he's with her. And I'm seeing this guy I'm praising and worshiping. I'm on stage, I'm watching the people, and I notice he's over there. He just sitting down. He didn't, everybody stand up and worship God. He came about 4 or 5 times, and he never did get up. I said, okay, maybe that's his style. He says, we're new to him. Okay, I got it. And then she came into me, my office, and said, Pastor, I'm thinking about marriage. We've been kind of getting closer. What do you think about it? I said, no, you don't want to know what I think. I said, I don't want to tell you because if it works out, if it don't work out, you're going to blame me. You need to hear from God. And she's, I know that, Pastor. But, my spiritual father, just tell me, what do you think? And I paused and I said, well, does he have any passion for God? Amen. She looked, no, you got your answer. You going to marry him in the rough?
Right.
Don't have no passion for God? And now you want to teach your children the word of God? And he said, oh, leave that stuff alone. It matters. Say it matters.
It matters.
See, he wants it to last. Say the last.
To last.
What he built, invested in us, to last for generations. Verse 6, that the generations to come might know them. Say, might know them. The things you share with them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to what? Their children. So your children, then their children be born, that's grandchildren, then their children, that's great-grandchildren. Why? This is the key reason why. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his what? Commandments. This is not a suggestion to Christians. See, I mentioned last time about people don't like people telling what to do. You be like God telling you what to do because he knows what you need. He said, this is a commandment. They train pilots. Follow the rules. You want a pilot to follow the rules. Don't make them up on your own. These are commandments. These are laws. These are policies. But when it comes to God, we want to do our own thing. No, our Father knows best. That they may set their hope in God, not in the dollar, not in the good job or the pension. You know, companies have been known to cut out the pension. Got bought out by somebody else, they cut it out. We're losing money, we cut all that out, and you're counting on it. Where's your hope now? Where's your hope now? I wouldn't wish that on nobody, but those things like that happen. Where's your hope? That they'll set their hope in God. They got a disease that's incurable. Child, God, have you set in advance, early, your hope in God? Which means you got to go through some stuff and overcome some stuff to develop your hope in God. Yeah. It's nice to read about it and hear the testimony from others, but do you have your own testimony? How God come through for you? You've gone through some stuff. You've been out there on the edge and fell off the edge and God caught you.
Hallelujah.
And you say, thank you, Lord God. That's why many of us worship like we do. It's not emotion. Not just, we're thinking about what God done for us.
Hallelujah.
Be blessing and glory and honor to you, Lord God. And I'm not ashamed of you. Because you're good and you prove yourself to me.
Yes.
And until you get to that place and the kids see you there and you encourage them to have their own testimony in God, oh, they're in now. They're in now. Say, for generations to come. So even sisters, brothers, you know, looking for a quality lady, even one in church, which is great. But begin to take your time and find out, because you've got a common vision for family. Even if you decide to adopt children, common vision for family. If you don't want to have any, that's your choice. But what about your spiritual children? Because we all impacting next generations. About to wrap up here. So Built to Last is done by building a family cultural legacy where our children represent Christ and not bow down to the gods of Babylon. Read that out loud with me, please. Built to Last is done by building a family cultural legacy where our children represent Christ and not bow down to the gods of Babylon. Say it one more time, please. You know, I mentioned earlier about how we have this theme program for the summer, and we're going to do more of that, and our kids are doing well, giving the best education, maybe better than what we had. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But that alone won't do it if they haven't learned God's principles.
Amen.
Daniel was part of a generation of kids who were captured out of Israel by the king of Babylon. Daniel was a slave, serving the king. And he loved the Lord. He learned about Jehovah God. And that the word said, they'll have no other God before me. Only one God, and I'm it. He believed it as a young boy. He wasn't 45 and 50. He was a young man, young, probably about 12 or so. And then there was a law because people hated him. Because he had favor with the king. And somehow changed the law and got the king to trick the king to get a law where you couldn't worship no other God. They knew that Daniel did, he'd get in trouble and go to prison. But you did, with the lion. But God got him out of the lion's den. Yeah. Would your kids know what to do when they put in the lion's den too?
Wow.
They got to see it in us. And we need to tell it when it happens.
Amen. Good word.
And so he wouldn't bow down. And so he heard the law. He can read. But he opened the window and did his regular prayer. Bow down to God, Lord God, Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Worshiping him. They said, there he is, King. We told the story. You know, they had cell phone. I got the picture on the cell phones right there on Facebook. I see, that's him. What possesses a young boy not to bow down to the most powerful man on earth? It was in him as a child. How did it get there? Father and grandfather and parents shared the stories of what God did for them coming out of Israel. When they were slaves for 400 years, they lived in the ghetto. I was on welfare for a while, but God brought me through. Share the stories about my life. How this broke down, but God fixed it and put it back together better. And he said, my God that we serve and your God and our family's God is the only wise God.
That's right.
I can imagine when he was going away, his mama and dad would say, now, don't forget about Jehovah. I'm going to miss you, boy, but don't forget about Jehovah. He's the only wise God. When they go off to school, are you telling them, I know you got that full scholarship. Don't forget about Jehovah, Lord God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that's what he didn't bow down because of it. And he said, you're going with the lions. And God delivered him. That is what I'm talking about. You may lose your job standing up for Christ. Are you raising children that must stand up for God and let God supernaturally come through for them? Or they bow down and I got six figures, finally got there. I ain't giving this up. They got to be trained before they get that situation.
Amen.
Be part of their culture. Say part of their culture.
Of their culture.
That means it's around your house.
Yes.
They see it modeled among your relatives and family and friends, especially in the mom and dad house. Final piece. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to young Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, notice, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. Say grandmother Lois.
Grandmother Lois.
And your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, is in you also. Wait a minute. It was first in your grandmama Lois. She got it. She followed the biblical pattern. Pass it on to her daughter, Eunice, and she put it into you. Now, I don't know why no father, no male name mentioned in there. They may have died, I don't know. May have been in a war, I don't know. But there's no excuse, mama. If you by yourself, it's you and grandmama, you handle your business. Paul said, I see it in you, and I know how it got to you. Notice he knew how it got to him. It came first. Know what he didn't say, third and fourth to his grandmother. It came first. She was the first one in the family legacy to get it. And she was faithful to it, so she passed it on to her daughter, Eunice. And guess what? Your mama, Eunice, gave it to you, put it in you, and I'm persuaded it's in you now.
Hallelujah.
I can look at your life. It's in you now.
Yeah.
That is our testimony we want to be able to say and leave a legacy for.
Amen.
We got to be intentional about it. Yeah, be wise, you know, and don't be heavy-handed. Go home, come out, leave today and say, Pastor, the pastor said we need to go teach you the word of God. We're going to have 5 hours of reading the Bible. You know, don't do that. Just start off just praying for them, looking for ways of how you can connect with them, and then share what God's been doing in your life. It's not a brag. Some folks are very sensitive. You're bragging. No, I'm bragging on God. Okay, hush your mouth. I'm bragging on God. God, my God is good. See, we're not used to talking about how good God is. See, bro, don't brag. I'm talking about my God.
Yeah.
How good it's been to me, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
Because if we don't, they don't know God's good. They don't know God is powerful. They don't know him as a deliverer.
Amen.
So they won't commit their life to him because of it. Well, I put my confidence in a God that can't do nothing for me. Are you following me? It's doing something for you all, but are we telling our children, our nieces and nephews about what God is doing? So if you are a single parent or have no biological children, you can still leave a godly legacy like Paul. Paul was single. He wasn't married, had no children. And he was ministering right then to Timothy. So you can have people who are younger to encourage them, reach out to them, connect with them, help them, share wisdom with them. There's ways to do it in a loving, caring way. Although when they ask questions, you're open to share that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. You're here today, and God has spoken to your heart in a very real way. This was not designed to bring guilt or shame or focus on what you could have done, what you didn't do. That's not the point. It's to set the standard, and it's a high standard. I understand. It's a high standard, but it's the high standard for the high calling. There's a high calling, and God will not give you a high standard.